Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring news, music, interviews, and events on the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of egalitarianism, sustainability, peace, health, and harmony. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of the station nor its management. In this episode, I'm featuring a lecture by Dr. Will Tuttle about the five dimensions of health. This was originally published on December 21st, 2020. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
Hi, this is Dr. Will Tuttle, and I'd like to discuss the connection between animal agriculture and mindfulness and the five dimensions of health in our society: environmental health, cultural health, physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health. And one of the most important things I think to say right at the beginning is that these ideas are relatively simple and straightforward, but they're also hidden from us in our society. We're not really allowed to discuss these in general public because most people would rather not know, and the institutions in many ways that are the foundation of our society, the large corporations and financial institutions, educational institutions, also don't seem to be open to having this discussed too much. But I think it's critical that we understand these ideas and discuss these, especially now. So, as I said earlier, I want to discuss the five dimensions of health. And the important thing, really, is to be aware very clearly that animal agriculture attacks and harms and erodes all five dimensions of health. It's harmful to the environment, to our society, to our physical health. Those are the outer dimensions, but also to our psychological health and our spiritual health. These are the inner dimensions. So very briefly, I'd like to shed a little bit of light on the environmental aspect, which many people are already aware of, but just very briefly, that environmental devastation is caused by animal agriculture primarily due to the tremendous wastefulness of growing food that we could eat and feeding it to imprisoned cows and pigs and chickens. So these animals convert what could be healthy nutrients to saturated fat, cholesterol, acidifying and inflammatory animal protein, huge amounts of gases, like nitrous oxide and so forth, and methane, and sewage, massive amounts of sewage that runs off and ends up polluting waterways, nutrient-rich runoff from some sewage from animals and also from growing all these grains, and the fertilizer residues create gigantic dead zones. There's hundreds of dead zones around the world now in the oceans caused by animal agriculture. So to be aware of this, that animal agriculture is a direct attack on ecosystems, pesticide, herbicide, and fungicide residues from growing all these grains, genetically engineered, typically pollute the water and the air, and we're eroding the soil. We're cutting down rainforests now at about 4 to 5 acres per second. And this is to grow soy primarily to feed to these imprisoned cows and pigs and chickens, and factory farm fishes also eat a lot of grain. So we have a situation of deforestation that's really destroying the lungs of the planet, and also the genetic diversity of our beautiful earth is being harmed by animal agriculture more than anything else we're doing, because we're destroying habitat, not only in the forests and everywhere else on land, but also in the oceans. The overfishing of the oceans is completely unsustainable. So now it's between half and two-thirds of the fish we're eating as human beings are coming from factory farms. So we have this massive amount of hyper-confinement of land animals and water animals, over 10,000 different drugs and hormones that are injected into these animals and mixed into their feed and so forth. It ends up in the water, ends up in the land and soil around, and ends up in our food, ends up in our air and water. So this poisoning of the earth by animal agriculture and the destruction of habitat and the loss of water resources, so much irrigation is depleting aquifers. We're causing climate instability and loss of species. So everything that we can see that's harming the earth, primarily animal agriculture is the number one cause. So moving to a plant-based way of eating is the greatest thing we can do to help the environment and the ecosystem health and regeneration. Number two is cultural health. So we have to understand that this wastefulness of animal agriculture is directly contributing to hunger and starvation, because every year we grow enough food to feed 11, 12, 13 billion people. We have less than 8 billion people, but we have roughly a billion people going hungry and starving because most of the grain we're growing, we're feeding to animals instead of to people. And so it is really the wealthier people on earth who are taking and eating and using and destroying most of the food that is being grown, as well, again, as the water and land and petroleum to grow these foods, while other people go hungry. And this injustice is a driving force behind war and conflict in the world, the cause of enormous suffering and disease. And also animal agriculture is the cause of tremendous suffering for workers. We have a situation where these workers in the slaughter plants and factory farms and so forth have the highest rates, or among the highest rates, of worker-related injuries, and also of drug addiction and alcoholism, as well as spousal abuse and child abuse. So this violence is really a web of violence that animal agriculture creates that goes out to every dimension of the earth and destroys ecosystems and wildlife, destroying indigenous people and their livelihoods and their habitats, destroying our cultural health, increasing war and conflict and disease. And we know that the third dimension of health, our own physical health, our physical bodies, is harmed by animal agriculture. And it's well understood now that diets that are high in animal-based foods increase the risk of the diseases that are filling up our hospitals. And these diseases, of course, include the diseases like diabetes and obesity, as well as osteoporosis, liver disease and kidney disease, cancers like breast, prostate, and colon cancer, circulatory diseases like strokes and heart disease, autoimmune diseases, of course, are a big problem today, and also mental diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia. All of these are directly linked to diets, including animal-based foods. And so moving to a plant-based way of eating is not only the greatest gift we can give to animals and ecosystems and indigenous people and hungry people and slaughterhouse workers and our own cells and organs, but I would say moving to an organic and whole foods way of eating even makes it better, because, again, as soon as we're buying non-organic foods, we're paying for and causing pesticide, herbicide, and fungicide residues, and genetically engineered crops are also very harmful to wildlife and also to our own microbiome, because these GMOs are, like glyphosate, the pesticides that are used for GMO crops, our broad-spectrum antibiotics, and harm our own internal community of microorganisms, as well as the Earth's microorganisms. So organic is very important, and whole foods without artificial chemicals and preservatives and so forth. So this is a wonderful foundation for health that we can all make an effort to understand, implement, and share with other people. The other dimension of this that is critical, I think, to be aware of, just to get a sense of things, is the historical dimension, because basically when we think about our situation on this earth, we think that, well, you know, we've just been doing this all a long time, it's natural, but actually we've only been engaging in animal agriculture for about 10,000 years, which is not very long. It started in what is today Iraq. And it was wild goats, and then later wild sheep, wild cows, and then eventually other animals. And this did about seven things. This revolution of owning animals as property for food created seven changes, all of which I think are really devastating to our society and that we are now dealing with. Number one, we had the reduction of the status of animals and nature, because animal agriculture sees these beings as mere objects to be used, and wild free-living animals as mere pests to be eliminated, and nature as an object to be used and owned. So animal agriculture commodifies animals and nature, which is very harmful in the long run. Number two, it led to a rise in the wealthy elite class, for the very first time, we had this wealthy elite class that owned livestock. They were the kings. And gradually, they accumulated more and more power and dominated their entire society. And they accumulated capital. Capita is the root word for capital. And capita is the Latin word for head, as in head of sheep and goats and cows. So we had this arising of this warlike capitalist wealthy elite. They invented war. There had never been war, as we know it, large-scale conflict until animal agriculture, and it was a war to get more wealth, more capital, more livestock from other rival kings. And so the oldest word for war is gavia, the Sanskrit word that means the desire for more cows. So it led to war, and then that led directly to slavery, because it's a small step from enslaving animals to enslaving other human beings. So whoever lost the war became the property of the victors. It led also to the domination of women, because animal agriculture at its core is based on reducing the female to a mere breeder. And so gradually women's status was reduced, and they were seen as mere breeders, and they were eventually bought and sold like slaves, as we all know from reading history. And then finally, the seventh thing is the woundedness of men, of boys, who are raised in a society where they're forced to suppress their natural kindness and tenderness and be hard and tough and capable of sustained violence against women and animals and rival herders. So this is the great wound that began arising in the Eastern Mediterranean region 10,000 years ago. Gradually, by the historic period, around 3,000 years ago, we see the books that the ancient books talk about this. There was always these wars and these kings and this slavery and so forth. And this whole system continued to grow and spread to the northern Mediterranean region, to Asia, Central Asia, to Europe, and then from Europe, of course, spread to the Americas and worldwide, and is still spreading to this day, to this moment, through the large institutions in our society, like the big corporations and financial institutions and governmental agencies and regulatory agencies. These McDonald's and Burger King and ConAgra and Kentucky Fried Chicken and World Bank and IMF, we can go on and on. All of these institutions and organizations are based on animal agriculture, on profiting from foods, chemicals, and investments, basically, and wars also, that are caused by the underlying mentality of and practice of animal agriculture, the violence, domination, and exploitation of other living beings. So that's the basic thing. We have to understand that animal agriculture is actively harming and destroying our outer world, our environment, our society, and our physical health, that it's historically rooted and has developed, and that now it's time, I think we can all see this, for a change, for another revolution or evolution away from domination and exploitation of other beings toward the liberation of these beings, towards compassion, kindness, and respect for other living beings. So I want to just mention also the inner dimensions that are harmed by animal agriculture, the psychological and spiritual dimensions, because I think this is critical to understand, especially when we look at spirituality and look at mindfulness and practices that we can engage in to help create a more sustainable, just, and abundant way of living on this beautiful planet. I mean, the good news is that this planet is abundant, it's beautiful, we can all thrive on this earth, and there's nothing stopping us. It's basically animal agriculture and the mentality required by animal agriculture of domination and exploitation of other beings. So the basic idea is that no one chooses freely to eat animal foods. All of us are only eating animal foods because of one reason. We're following orders. We're just doing what we've been told to do by people we trust who were very well-meaning, our parents and friends and teachers and doctors and so forth. So we're born into a culture eating animal foods, and we're doing that, and it's causing tremendous suffering to other living beings and to webs of life and also to ourselves. So we're called to develop mindfulness or awareness or consciousness of the consequences of animal agriculture. And when we do this, we become part of the healing of our world.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. This is a recording of his lecture on December 21st, 2020, discussing the five dimensions of health, vegan living, mindfulness, and spirituality. You're tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Arrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue with vegan living.
Hi, this is
the Boys and Girls Club of Worcester.
You're listening to WCUW
91.3 FM.
Worcester!
I shall rest at the close of the day.
This is Brother David from Souls Arisen, letting you know that our Souls Arisen will be on each and every Sunday morning on WCUW 91.3 FM Worcester. Looking forward to giving you great gospel music, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. each and every Sunday morning.
Sounds of Scotia, AM Jukebox, the Polka Party, Cafe Saturday Amor, Night Blues, Viva Columbus.
There are many reasons to support community radio in Worcester. WCUW 91.3 FM.
The Mediterranean Jazz Umbrella. Glimpses. Variations.
Welcome back from the break, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. And we're continuing with this lecture by Dr. Will Tuttle, discussing the five dimensions of health and vegan living.
So the psychological dimension of animal agriculture has to do with the basic fact that when we're eating animal-based foods, for example, like when I was a little kid, and I was sitting at the table and I was learning to eat by my parents, I was eating foods, meat, dairy products, and eggs, so I was learning that I need to eat that to get protein and calcium, this is what they were telling me. But I was also eating a whole set of attitudes. I was eating a basic mentality or orientation of relationship with other human beings and with nature. And it's important to understand this, that these attitudes are not in our best interest. One of the main attitudes, of course, is the attitude of reductionism. Every meal is basically teaching us that certain beings are not really beings. They're just objects, cows and pigs, fishes. These beings, they're just put here for us to use. We don't care about them. So we're learning not to care. We're learning to disconnect and reduce life to matter. So this reductionist approach is devastating to us as individuals and in our relationships with each other. And we have created economic and political systems based on reductionism where we find the strong are dominating and exploiting the weak. This is what's happening because this is what animal agriculture is all about. Animal agriculture at the deep level is teaching us that might makes right. Whoever is powerful can dominate and exploit those who are less powerful. Another mentality that we're taught, basically eating animal foods, is a mentality of disconnectedness. Don't make the connection between what we're eating and whatever it took to get it onto our plate. We don't look deeply. We don't make the connection. The ability to make connections, though, is intelligence. That's the actual definition of intelligence, is the ability to make consequent connections, connections that help us to understand what's going on. So if we don't look deeply and don't make connections, we're confined to the shallows of intelligence, of awareness, emotional intelligence, as well as cognitive intelligence. So when we practice looking deeply, we see the flesh of an animal that we're paying $5 a pound for. We see the animal, we see the cow or the pig or the fish. We look deeper and we see the suffering that they endured. And we look deeper and we see the suffering of the people who had to confine them and stab them. And we look deeper and we see the suffering of the people who are going hungry because they can't eat the food because this cow or pig or fish was eating the grain that they could be eating. And we look even more deeply and we see the destruction of forests and the destruction of indigenous cultures and war and conflict that come from all this. And we see the suffering of disease, of epidemics, and all these things that are a direct result and an indirect result of animal agriculture. And so this is wisdom. Wisdom is mindfulness and looking deeply, and it helps us to live our lives creating more joy and freedom and abundance for ourselves and for others. And the idea here really is to understand the ancient wisdom traditions that focused on this basic teaching that whatever we sow, so shall we reap. So if we're sowing seeds of violence and abuse and terror and fear and pain in other beings, how is it possible that we're not going to reap that for ourselves? So really to think about that. And then finally, there's many of these mentalities, but the last one I'll mention here, and this is a very brief overview, is the mentality of the domination of the sacred feminine, which is very important for spirituality. Spirituality really requires us to be receptive, to quiet our mind and to listen, and to cultivate kindness and compassion for others, for all living beings. And so I think we all have this feminine wisdom. I talk about this in the World Peace Diet as Sophia. Sophia was the ancient Greek goddess of wisdom. Sophia literally means wisdom. And it was a goddess or a feminine energy or feminine awareness. So I think that basic idea is that women especially have this capacity. A mother, when she gives birth to a baby, loves and protects and nurtures that baby. That's the foundation of a healthy person, a healthy family, a healthy society. Men also have this capacity of Sophia to love and nurture and protect life. But we have to remember clearly that animal agriculture, the way it is practiced, it harms our Sophia. It suppresses and represses Sophia, because if Sophia was functioning, we would not be able to sit down and eat the flesh and secretions of horribly abused animals. Sophia would rise up and say, "What are you doing? Stop. This is destroying children and mothers and ecosystems and our own health and our lives and our possibilities for a healthy world for our children." So this Sophia energy is very important. So we have to understand these things clearly, that animal agriculture is essentially an attack on the most sacred dimensions of our spiritual life, of the feminine capacity to be receptive and loving and nurturing that we all have, and that animal agriculture is also the underlying driving force in the outer world of environmental devastation and injustice and war, conflict, and so forth. So once we begin to understand that, we begin to see that each one of us actually has a tremendous possibility, that each one of us can be a force for the healing of our world. And this is where spiritual practice comes into play. And I think it's important to make the distinction between spirituality and religion. Spirituality is adamant that we don't harm other beings for our own benefit. That's the essence of spirituality, is non-harmfulness of others. The word vegan, for example, which means to do the best I can to minimize the suffering I cause other living beings, all other living beings. Another way of stating the same thing is ahimsa. It's an ancient Sanskrit word that means non-harmfulness or non-violence. This is a core teaching in all the ancient spiritual wisdom traditions of the world, and also, I would say, of all the religions of the world. Non-violence, harmlessness, loving-kindness, compassion, caring, respect. These are words, they're all pointing at the same thing, that when we harm others, we not only harm them, we harm ourselves. So spiritual practices have to do really with two fundamental aspects. Number one is self-cultivation, to practice quieting our mind so we can connect with our inner wisdom. And then number two, in the outer world, to live our lives as an expression of creative kindness and respect for others. And then each one of us has a unique gift to give, to awaken to, and to live authentically, to live our own lives as authentically as we can. So that requires that we connect with our intuition, our inner guidance system, so that we're living our own life rather than merely following a narrative that was given to us by our parents and teachers and the media and our society. Because if we as individuals don't question the official narrative and live our lives according to a different narrative, then we'll just basically be replicating our culture, and there won't be any progress or any kind of meaningful evolution. So I think this is really the key thing, is to realize that spirituality calls us to an inner transformation where we're questioning the official narratives in our society and connecting with our own inner wisdom, and then living a life that reflects this in the outer world. Religion, on the other hand, is divided in its loyalty. Religion really has two loyalties. One of them is spirituality. So religions are institutions to help share and increase and transmit spirituality. That's great. But they also are cultural institutions that are designed to encourage and fortify the existing culture. So that's the problem. So we have, for example, the three main Western religious traditions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. They're basically religions that grew under the umbrella of Herderism. So Herderism had already established itself in these religions, and the great prophets and seers that founded these religions probably were questioning violence towards animals. But as the years and centuries went by, that's been rooted out. And so now, unfortunately, these religions don't really talk about compassion for all sentient beings. They talk about more not killing humans. And so they're very human-centric in many ways, because these are religions that are quite powerfully under the herding culture. I call it in the World Peace Diet, they're sons of the herding culture, both science and religion, that seem to be fighting with each other. They're really both supporting the herding culture. And in the Buddhist tradition, and in many of these Asian and non-Western traditions, it's not just to humans, but to all living beings that we engage in this ethical behavior, because spirituality and ethics go together, and religion. I mean, religion really is the institution that primarily is tasked with transmitting ethical standards. So if we look at these five precepts, they are not to kill, not to steal, not to lie, not to commit sexual abuse, and not to force others to take drugs or liquors that are harmful to them. And yet what we see, of course, with animal agriculture is we do all five of these things. You know, on a massive scale, we're talking about millions of beings every day, billions every day if we include marine animals. We're killing them. We're stealing from them. We steal their lives. We steal their eggs. We steal their milk. We steal their purposes. We steal their time. We steal their babies. We steal everything. So it's killing, stealing, misleading them in many ways, deceiving them, sexually abusing them. Of course, the females are always impregnated against their will on rape racks. Typically, males are also sexually abused to get the sperm. So sexual abuse, very perverse sexual violence is committed against these animals. And then finally, there's over 10,000 different drugs and hormones and antibiotics that are injected into them, that are mixed into their feed, that they're forced to take, not for their own benefit, but for the benefit of their exploiters. So we're breaking all five of the precepts on a massive scale. We're causing violence and misery and terror to these beings. And then we not only cause that, we then eat that. We feed that to our children. And so this is the problem. We have created a situation where we're sowing seeds of violence and abuse. And the ancient wisdom traditions, the spiritual traditions, emphasize that we can never grow spiritually into a life of harmony and peace and sustainability as long as we are sowing seeds of misery and violence and terror and pain and suffering in others. That if we're acting in a predatory way, which is what animal agriculture is, we're confining and then preying upon these animals. If we act in a parasitic way, just using them, we're acting in this predatory, parasitic way, and not by our own choice, but just because we're born into this. So we have to understand that. But we are, nevertheless, we're engaging this behavior. If I go into a store or a restaurant and pay for the flesh or secretions of animals, I'm paying for someone somewhere to stab an animal, and it's so I'm the cause of that. I'm the actual motivating cause. So if we're causing these kinds of violence and harm to others, how do we ever expect that we are deserving to have a life ourselves of freedom and joy and abundance and radiant health when we're causing the opposite of that to other beings? So this is critical to understand, that we are now in a stage where we're treating other living beings as livestock for 10,000 years. And again, we're finding more and more we're losing our own rights and our health, and are more and more becoming livestock ourselves, seeing that we are losing our ability for freedom and health. And being preyed upon, because as we prey upon others, we get preyed upon. So we create these institutions and economic systems and governance systems of violence towards animals, but we also function within them, and we find that we are being harmed by those as well.
This completes the shortened, edited version of Dr. Will Tuttle's lecture. Again, I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. This is Marlena, Massachusetts, wishing you a good day.